If that person leads you out of that situation and to a place you can call home, would you be thankful? Say somehow you found yourself trapped, locked in a dark place with seemingly no way out, and you cried out for help, and someone came and brought you out of that place. Would you be thankful? Say you were to find yourself suffering from a terrible disease, to the point where you can't eat and are given only a short time to live. If you were healed and made a full recovery, would you be thankful? Say you were to find yourself in a massive storm at sea, tossed around by giant waves and fearful for your life. If you were rescued and taken to a safe haven, would you be thankful? These really aren't difficult questions to answer. You're not going to find them as starters for 10 on University Challenge. The answers seem obvious. Faced with such extreme circumstances, we would no doubt be immensely thankful to be rescued from them. Our psalm this evening has four similar pictures of people being rescued from dire circumstances. Yet the psalmist's repeated refrain throughout the psalm is a reminder to give thanks to the Lord. Could it be that even when saved from the most dire of circumstances, we still need reminded to be thankful? Let's turn now to the psalm and see what the Lord has to say to us through it. The psalm is structured in three main sections. We have an opening exhortation in verses 1 to 3. Then the psalmist moves on to give us four pictures of redemption in verses 4 to 32. And finally, he concludes with some more general reflections on our basis for thanksgiving in verses 33 onwards. Our focus this evening will be predominantly on the middle section, the four pictures of God's redemption. The first section, verses 1 to V, provides us with an exhortation to give thanks to the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who are the redeemed of the Lord? The context here is the return of the people of God from exile. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Israel had been redeemed, rescued, and restored by God repeatedly throughout the centuries. They had been rescued from Egypt in the south. They had been rescued from Assyria and Syria in the north. They had been rescued from the Philistines to the west, and they were rescued from the Babylonians to the east. While this psalm may have been written in response to the redemption of Israel from exile, it provides general pictures of God's redemption, not only of the Israel in the Old Testament, but also of God's redemption of us. We can apply this to all who have been redeemed from sin. So following on from this opening exhortation, we come to these four vivid pictures of God's redemption. In verses 4 to 9, we have a picture of a group of people lost and wandering in the desert, being led to a safe city. In verses 10 to 16, we have a picture of a sick person being restored to full health. In verse 10 to 6, we have a picture of a captive prisoner being set free. In verses 17 to 22, we have a picture of a sick person being restored to full health. And in verses 23 to 32, we have a picture of a stricken sailor being rescued from certain death in a storm. Now, each of these four pictures falls into the same pattern. The psalmist follows a sequence here. There is the plight, there is a plea, there is the pardon, and then there is praise. The plight is the dangerous situation described. The plea is the cry for deliverance from that situation. The pardon is the merciful deliverance that God provides. And the praise is the call to thanks that the Lord, to thank the Lord that follows. As I have said, our own redemption from sin is displayed in these magnificent pictures. We too were like people lost in the wilderness, locked in prison, languishing in deadly sickness, and life-threatened on a storm-tossed sea. These pictures are not solely of the redeemed of Israel, but they are pictures for us as well. I'd like now to take a look at each of these four pictures in a bit more detail. So let's start with our first picture, that of the people lost and wandering in the desert, being led to a safe city. In verse 4 we read, "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." This is the exile's plight, restless and lost, starved and thirsty, aimlessly wandering in a desert in search of a city which can provide food and water, rest and safety. This could depict Israel in those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. It could also describe the plight of Israel in the land of Babylon, living in a pagan culture, a religious desert of godlessness. But it also describes us. We were all lost souls, wandering aimlessly in our sin, starved and thirsty for what we really need to sustain us, the bread and water of life. This is the plight of sinners. They wander looking for a city, somewhere where there is food and water, where there's joy, fellowship and rest, where there's security and safety from death. Then we come to the plea in verse 6. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble," it says. Like Israel crying to the Lord in Egypt, or the exiles crying to the Lord in Babylon, all sinners who recognize their aimless wandering, those who recognize their lostness, and who cry out to the Lord in their trouble, will be answered. Their plea leads to a pardon. In verse 6 and 7 we read, "And he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in." When we recognize our plight and call out to the Lord, he will lead us on a straight path. In his goodness and mercy, we are placed on the right track with all we need to reach our destination. This follows on to praise in verses 8 and 9. "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." If we, like the people of Israel, have been saved from our aimless wandering, how can we not give thanks to the Lord, he who satisfies and nourishes our longing soul? As the psalmist says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks." Moving on to our second picture, in verses 10 to 16, that of the captive prisoner being set free. We have already sung this picture tonight in the great words of Wesley's hymn, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Turning back to the psalm, in verse 10 we read, "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons." This is the exile's plight. Prisoners sat in darkness, chained in irons, cast with the looming shadow of an imminent death. We read in verse 11 how they came to be in this predicament. "For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help." This is absolutely crucial. Not only do we see the prisoner's plight, but we see the reason for his imprisonment is his own rebellion. He has violated God's law. He has rebelled against God's counsel and against his word. This is how it was for the people of God. They were taken into captivity in Babylon because of their rebellion. Throughout Israel's history, we see in the prophets a continued call to return to God, and we see a continued pattern of rebellion and the consequences that that brings. Again, this is not just the plight of the exiles, it is the plight of sinners. They are imprisoned in the darkness of sin as a direct result of their own rebellion against God. But we now come to the plea in verse 13, and here we have an exact repetition of the plea from our first picture. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble. And once again, the plea leads to pardon, and what a glorious picture it is. And he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. When we recognize our plight and when we acknowledge that our own sinful rebellion is the reason for our predicament, when we take this to God in prayer, he answers. And once again in verse 16, we have the psalmist's repeated reminder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. If we, like the people of Israel, have been saved from a life of imprisonment of our own making, how can we not give thanks to the Lord, he who bursts our bonds apart? As the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks. We now come to our third picture, that of a sick person being restored to full health. Let's turn to look at the plight in verses 17 and 18. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. We have a picture of a sick person suffering from a very severe illness. They have completely lost their appetite and are close to death. They are completely unable to take care of themselves. They are devoid of any strength. They cannot feed themselves, let alone heal themselves. And once again, as in the picture of imprisonment, this plight is a result of their own sinful ways. This again is the plight of the sinner. They are sick with a deadly incurable illness, one that is a consequence of their own sinful actions. But again, our picture follows the same pattern. The plight leads to a plea, and we read the same refrain in verse 19. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble. And again it is answered, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. We see this glorious truth repeated again, that if we acknowledge our plight, if we acknowledge our own sinfulness, and take this to the Lord in prayer, he will answer. If we, like the people of Israel, have been healed from a deadly illness and have been brought back to full health, how can we not give thanks to the Lord? Further, in verse 22, we are told that we should testify to these great works to one another and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. What a great encouragement it is to hear testimonies of the Lord's goodness and mercy in the lives of our brothers and sisters. Let's not keep these blessings to ourselves. Let us tell of his deeds. As the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks. We now come to our fourth and final picture, that of a stricken sailor being rescued from certain death in a storm. Verses 23 to 27. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous work in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heaven, they went down to the depth. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. This vivid picture of impending doom needs little unpacking on my part. We are confronted with the sheer terror of being caught up in such a storm where you are completely powerless and utterly fearful, knowing that your death is inevitable and there really is no escape. This too is the plight of the sinner. Apart from God, they are in a completely hopeless situation with a very real fear of death. But again, we see the familiar refrain. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And as before, another pardon. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. When we recognize our plight, when we acknowledge that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves and cry out to the Lord to save us, he will answer. If, like the people of Israel, we have been saved from the most hopeless and terrible storm where we were powerless to do anything, how can we not give thanks to the Lord? As the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks. I began by asking some hypothetical questions. Say somehow you found yourself homeless, wandering aimlessly through life, struggling to find enough food and water to keep you going, and at your wit's end, you ask someone for help, and that person leads you out of that situation and to a place you can call home. Would you be thankful? Say somehow you found yourself trapped, locked up in a dark place with seemingly no way out, and you cried out for help, and someone came and brought you out of that place. Would you be thankful? Say you were to find yourself suffering from a terrible disease to the point where you can't eat and are given only a short time to live. If you were healed and made a full recovery, would you be thankful? Say you were to find yourself in a massive storm at sea, tossed around by giant waves and fearful for your life. If you were rescued and taken to safe harbor, would you be thankful? If you are here tonight and you know that the redemption that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, these pictures are true for you. You have been delivered from your aimless wandering and led to a city of safety. You have been freed from a prison of your own making. You have been completely healed of a deadly illness, and you have been rescued from the certain death of a ferocious storm. What is your response to such a great salvation? And if you're here tonight and you are still wandering, if you're still trapped in a prison of sin, if you're still suffering from a deadly affliction, if you're still fearful for your life in the ferocious storm of life, then know the encouragement of this psalm for you. If you cry out loud to the Lord in your trouble, he will deliver you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks.